One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." In the liturgical year, this Sunday is akin to New Year's Eve. Next Sunday begins a new Christian year, leading off with the four Sundays of Advent. This Lord's Day is known as Christ the King Sunday. Pope Pius XI introduced this liturgical date in 1925. In the days between the world wars, amidst the rising tide of dictatorships and fascism, the Pope felt that the time was right to point people to the rule of Christ, not the rule of mortals. Dark days and a rising tide of fascism. Sadly, times that were not only present in the 20th century. Throughout time, dark days have often been characterized by powerful rulers and kings with unchecked power and agendas that run contrary to the teachings of Christ. History tragically reveals dictators and despots who advocated for genocide, ethnic cleansing, mass rape, blatant segregation, as well as strong borders to keep out other tribes and nationalities. Fascism reared its ugly head, making the supreme goal of racial purity the engine that drove the Holocaust, resulting in the horrific loss of precious Jewish lives. Many of these misguided acts are all too common today. People in danger around the globe can attest to the challenge of finding a welcoming place to settle. Syrians, formerly welcome in Italy, found a not welcome sign out in 2018 when the new interior minister took power, letting them know that the only way they would see Italy was on a postcard. This ruler also refused school lunches for immigrant children and asked for a census of the disdained Roma people. Dark days such as these, past and present, surely do not reflect the reign of our Lord. But the history of the world also reveals leaders who attempted to lead with compassion and goodness. Our Old Testament lesson today from 2 Samuel reveals a king who sought mightily, though not always successfully, to offer his allegiance and praise to God. and that mattered, because King David owed his very position in life to God, who anointed him to be a ruler and prophet, as well as a predecessor to other Davidic kings, culminating in the birth and kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. The lesson today claims to be the last words of King David, though both the claim that these are the actual last words, or that David even wrote them, are a matter of scholarly dispute. Whatever the case, I have to say that these words would make an excellent political endorsement in today's media-savvy age. Imagine this ad. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Wow, my name is King David, and I approve this message. Imagery like light, sun, and rain resonate with the very images used to glorify God, especially throughout the Psalms, and give a prophetic glimpse of Christ and his reign. And it's not just the setting, but also the declaration that the Lord speaks through David as a prophet. King David consolidated his power as both king and prophet, thanks to the blessing of God. This was despite a very messy life, a reality show train wreck of adultery, deceit, and violence that would derail most mortal rulers. But God had elevated him, anointed him as king of Israel, and allowed him to be the one designated through whom God spoke. God gave him the legitimacy to start a family dynasty rooted in the family tree of his father Jesse and culminating in the birth and reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nestled within these verses is the kingly quality most epitomized by Jesus. David proclaims himself as one who rules over people with justice. Justice. As theologian Carlos Humala points out, maybe what we are dealing with here is something that we can all understand. A declaration of what we want our rulers to be, those in the past as well as in the present. We want those who govern us to be a little better than we ourselves are, to have a special connection to the divine, and ultimately to rule justly. We want to know that they are clearly on the side of good and not evil. And no king has ever been more clearly on the side of good than Jesus. This king, who had no throne or castle, no military or protective services, no crown save for a crown of thorns, reveals his philosophy in an exchange described in Mark's gospel. Normally baited by Jerusalem scribes with trick questions, or criticized for his choices on whom to forgive, or who to socialize with at meals or in his travels, Jesus has a significant interchange with one scribe in particular. The scribe wants to know the first, most important commandment. The Lord replies with the expected words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength." But he doesn't stop there. He adds a second commandment to his response. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The scribe finds himself impressed and astoundingly tells Jesus that he is correct and says it with awe and conviction. The scribe then realizes that these acts of love and honoring God and all people surpass any act of burnt offerings or sacrifices. Jesus delivers a breathtaking statement to the scribe that he is not far from the kingdom of God, the kingdom secured for us through the death and resurrection of this very Jesus. Isn't this the heavenly kingdom that we hope to enter? With all the turmoil in worldly kingdoms, we should look at the kingdom of God to model our earthly home. The Lord's visible works of compassion, empathy, inclusion, and love is not just his work. It is our work as well, here on earth, every single day, in interaction with our local and global neighbors. It is our joyful duty to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to have empathy for refugees and migrants, to advocate for justice for those persecuted for religious and sexual beliefs. And imagine ourselves in the place of people oppressed by violent regimes and heartless rulers. All acts that will give witness to our belief in the teachings of Christ and in the perfect goodness of his reign. Michael Gerson, an op-ed columnist for the Washington Post, provides a compelling description for our attraction to Christ, our King. Whatever your view of Christianity, the example of Jesus remains one of history's most surprising constants. A man who never wrote a word, who spent 3 years teaching in an obscure corner of a vanished empire, still stirs the deepest longings of the human heart. When we see his image, even partially reflected in another human being, it appeals beyond every political division. Can we commit to being the people who reflect this image of a humble king to our neighbors, despite political and social divisions? Can we advocate for the dignity of all people and coexist with others in a way that reflects the spirit of righteousness and justice for all? On the eve of a new Christian year, can we resolve to do the hard work to live with the integrity of the two great commandments, to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves? Can we strive to obey the rule of Christ as the true offering of ourselves to all peoples in service to him, displaying empathy and compassion for all. Can we? May our words and our deeds betray us as true disciples of Christ our King. Let us pray. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ our King. Amen.